Case number 12690, Christopher at the Towns of Windward Village LLC seek variances from the minimum lot width requirement, section 115-34 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of Kent Avenue, approximately 0.03 miles from Westway Drive. The 911 address is 33309 Kent Avenue, Bethany Beach. The zoning district is MR. The tax parcel is District 134, map 17.11, parcel 6. The applicant is requesting a 65.49-foot variance from the 150-foot lot width requirement for a lot, a 66-foot variance from the required 150-foot lot width requirement for a lot, and a 75-foot variance from the required 150-foot lot width requirement for a lot. We have one letter of support, 26 in opposition, and zero mail return.
Is the applicant present? If you would please come forward.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Ron Sutton, Middletown, Delaware.
Your address?
55 West Main Street, Middletown, Delaware.
Thank you. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Yep. My name is Ron Sutton. I am a professional engineer in Delaware. I've been working on this project for a while with the client. I got a little bit of a background that I'd like to go through, if that's okay, and kind of go into what we're proposing. So in December 2021, we submitted a plan for 10 condos. In early 2022, we received an unfavorable recommendation from Planning and Zoning and withdrew our application from County Council. So we never took that to County Council. Planning and Zoning at that time recommendation called for a maximum of 4 lots on this property. That's what they had in their statements, and that was their findings. Currently, the client has decided that since P&Z will only support 4 lots and the surrounding neighbors were concerned with the condo regime, they were concerned with parking, traffic, a host of other items, we reduced it to just want 3 fee simple lots. So in the current MR zoning, that's a 75-foot lot width. That's what we had shown. That's what we submitted for our subdivision. After we submitted our subdivision, we learned that there's a footnote on the bottom of the matrix that basically says a lot fronting on a numbered road on the general highway map for Sussex County of 1964, as revised, should have a minimum lot width of 150 feet. We are fronting road 361. So right now, in Sussex County and Delaware, there are very few roads that don't have numbers. The only roads that don't have numbers are subdivision streets. So that kind of sets the uniqueness of this property. That's the basis for our request for a variance so that we can do 3 single family lots, 3 fee simple single family lots. Without this variance, the property would remain a motel, or we would have the option to come back in through planning and zoning and do a 4 unit condo regime. We feel that with the public and, you know, that they don't want a condo next to them, even though they have one next to them, that 3 fee simple lots is the best way to move forward and try to appease everybody. My client purchased the motel in 2021. Again, 10 to 11 condos were preferred, but 3 fee simple lots makes this work economically. If we have to come back in and do 4, that's, you know, the condos that we'll have to worry about that later. One lot does not work, and the motel is run down and would be very costly to salvage. So the motel sits about 3 feet off the back property line. Do we have access to the existing conditions plan that we submitted?
Did you?
That was part of our submission.
For the packet.
Yes. So that's the proposed layout. Do you have the The existing condition should be the next page, I'm hoping. Yep. So right now, this is the existing motel. You can see it's an existing single-story motel that runs about 3 feet off that back property line right there. And then there's several other buildings and pavement and a whole host of improvements that exist on this property. So if you could scroll back up top for me. And what we were proposing to do is basically just three single-family fee-simple lots. We would use the existing driveways, so there'd be no new connections to Kent Avenue. And we need the variance for the frontage from 150. We meet the requirements of the zoning without that 150 that is in the footnote. So this variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. There are a whole host of lots north of us that are all less than 150 feet. If we could go back to the county map, that'd be great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And if we go north, so all of those lots are less than 150 feet except for the corner lot. And then as you make the corner up Jefferson Bridge Road, you have some that are 50 feet. You have two over here that are, those four there are under 50 feet. And that's a numbered road. 361 is Kent Avenue. Jefferson Bridge Road is 361A, also a numbered road. You have houses being built north of this that also are less than the 150 feet. So we don't feel that what we're asking is out of the character of the neighborhood. We're trying to fit into the character. We're trying to appease the neighbors and just do three single family fee simple lots. So we believe the requested variance is the minimum variance needed for this project in order to make it work. The size of the lot is kind of a, it's a weird, it's wide, but it's also extra deep. So our lots are 14,000 square feet. The minimum lot size required for this zoning is 10,000 square feet. So we're 40% larger than what's required. We exceed the minimum lot areas. We exceed the minimum depth. The depth is 100 feet. We're 200 feet. There was a newspaper article that was published, I think it was May 5th, I think, in the Coastal, that kind of was an incorrect assessment as to what we were trying to do. I spoke with the person who wrote that article. He has since retracted that article and has sent a letter, an email of support for the project at this point. So, kind of concludes our presentation.
Any questions from the board?
So the only difference with the lots north of you is that just that they were pre-existing.
Were they I haven't gone back and researched if they were pre-existing from 1964. I know there's some that...
Our zoning code didn't come into effect until 1970.
Okay.
So that would be... They just referenced the map.
Okay.
You may have said it. What are the widths of the lots to the north?
The widths of the lots to the north, so they vary. They range from about 60.85 to 103 feet. And then there are some that are smaller as you wrap around to Jefferson Bridge Road.
Mm-hmm. To your point of the keeping up with the characteristics of the neighborhood, I'm curious as to what kind of homes are being built, because that area, are you really going to keep in the?
These are probably higher end 3,000-4,000 square foot homes.
I know the one across the street. I'm very familiar with the area. Another one across the street
further up is a big home.
That one.
It's fenced in across the street.
49, that's Nick. He's the one that actually wrote the letter to the editor. He's the one who has now sent the email in support of our request.
I know those homes to the north, some of them are older and back off the road a little bit. Is there any, do you have anything, how is this going to be set up? Is this going to be three lots being sold separately, or are you
yes.
going to have a builder tie in? How is this going
to Well, the owner of the property is a builder, so he's going to build these homes. So they'll be, you know, custom homes. The one on the north side, if we get the three lots, the one up top would have its own driveway, and then the two, one in the middle and the one on the bottom, would share kind of an entrance, because there's driveways that are already set up for the hotel. So we were hoping to limit the impact to everybody in the and the surrounding, you know, environment, and use what we had in place. The only thing we would need is two water meters, two sewer cleanouts.
That's like a half moon, isn't it? In the existing.
Yeah, if you go back to the one drawing, it would. But yeah, the driveway curls around like this. So we would use this driveway for this lot. And you can see this is like a double entrance. So that driveway would go to the center, and this one would come to the bottom one. And then there'd be an easement so that the people in the middle can just come across that corner.
Is that motel still there?
It is still there.
How long, I mean, was it functioning recently, or is it still in service, or?
It hasn't been in service.
If you want to testify, we have to have you sworn in, so.
Yeah.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
My name is Rick Normoyle, and our address is 10461 White Granite Drive, and that's Oakton, Virginia.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry guys, I didn't mean to jump in, but I'm the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for the Christopher Companies. I've been part of this project basically since inception. When it came to us that the seller was interested in us proceeding there. If you're not familiar with the project, it is a unique parcel, obviously tucked right next to Sea Colony. But at this point, if you drive by, it is a dilapidated motel. Doors are kicked in. Last time I went over there, I think all the TVs were thrown into one room. There's mattresses everywhere. The exterior is unkept. And we try to target these different parcels where we can put the Christopher Company stamp on it, try to improve the area. That was our initial thinking when we came, and we thought, what would fit within this area? What would make sense for us as a company? Looking next door at Sea Colony, the townhomes, our initial thought process was try to fit 11 townhomes onto the parcel. Before proceeding that way, we did host on our behalf a town hall at Bethany Beach Ocean Suites late last year, and invited all the surrounding neighbors just for feedback. Didn't have to, but we just thought, you know, these are going to be our neighbors, obviously, so we wanted to hear them out, any concerns they had, put it at the forefront. So we met with 20 to 25 individuals. They voiced their concerns, told us, you know, what they didn't like about the project. We took that feedback and we implemented that before we tried to get the project approved. We nixed one of the townhomes. We were down to 10 townhomes. We removed parking spaces. We added landscaping. So when that project came to a halt, obviously, we said, let's kind of, the main thing we heard at the last meeting was it didn't fit in the character of the community. It wasn't Bethany Beach. We showed townhomes that we built recently off Route 54 down in Fenwick Island. But they said it doesn't speak to them as Bethany Beach. So we've gone back and we've created a couple of different single family concepts. As Ron mentioned, 3,000 to 4,000 square foot homes. You know, that vacation doesn't have to be a vacation home. It's first floor living, of course, but more of something that representative that you'll see on the beach side of Bethany Beach. Even some of the homes that were just built recently off Kent Avenue. So it's got that cottage feel. It's got that Bethany Beach feel. You know, we just keep talking about driving down Kent Avenue and seeing these three homes. You know, the picture, the idea of that versus the current state, it's night and day. So my other part of it is, obviously Ron brought up the article that came up in the Coastal Point about a week or two ago. And unfortunately, the article couldn't be corrected prior to this meeting, but I'd be curious to know how many of the negative feedback, the letters that came in, were between that article and now, because that article did state that we were still going to be building townhomes. So for the record, obviously we're not. It's three single-family homes, and we would like to just get the project going as soon as, you know, you all say go and get the approvals. And but again, the character of the three homes, the character of the lots, I think fit well within what Bethany Beach, Sussex County, and that area is looking to offer customers. So,
sir, I just want to make sure you understand, we're a records-based body. Yeah. We only consider this application based on the record we built tonight.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that's
understood.
Clear.
Understood.
We got this opposition letter from an attorney, Mackenzie Pete. Have you seen that? Mm-hmm. Did you have the opportunity to
yes,
see that?
Yes.
You did? Okay.
Yep.
I wanted to make sure you saw it. And make sure, in case you had anything you wanted to respond to, you had an opportunity to do that. Was there anything that you wanted to respond to?
Well, in his letter, he states that we're only asking for one variance. When it was read into the record, we're actually asking for three variances for the three lots. And he's saying that the variance is completely out of character with the surrounding community, and that we don't agree with. I mean, everything out there is less than 150 feet. There's more lots that are less than 150 than there are lots over 150. And that's, you know. And it, you know, in his report, he does the back page. He does actually have the recommendations from planning and zoning. And if you looked at the back, I highlighted it. It says MR and the 4 units per acre density that is permitted in the MR. That's what planning and zoning kind of said that this should stick to.
One of the questions I wanted to ask you about is the one of the criteria is that there's unique physical conditions that create an exceptional practical difficulty. Can you help clarify what is unique about the physical condition of this property?
It's a large piece of property. It doesn't have as much frontage as we need to get the three lots with the 150-foot frontage. You know, we're twice the depth. We're proposing twice the square footage, or not twice, but, you know, 40% more lot size than what's required. So the area is there, we're just restricted by the actual road frontage. The other practical difficulty is the fact that it wasn't a numbered road in 1964. It is a numbered road now. When the code came in and made reference to the 1964 maps, Kent Avenue was not a numbered road. And like I said, almost every road out there today is a numbered road.
Mr. Sharp, could you help enlighten me a little bit about what the purpose is of that note or how that came about?
I don't know the specifics behind it. It's been there as long as I know. Ms. Norwood's been dealing with the code longer than I have. But if I had to guess, it was likely to avoid having too many entrances onto larger roads. But again, I don't have the minutes from when they approved that. But there is a distinguishing characteristic. There's a chart that the code references where there's a lot width requirement for MR lots, but there is a carve out for lots that are on a numbered road. And that's where this comes into play. This property is on a numbered road. I don't know how long it's been a numbered road. I'm kind of curious where Mr. Sutton got the information about it not being a numbered road previously. I mean,
looking at older maps, I went back into the 1965 county map that it was not a numbered road, and then it became a numbered road after that. I don't know the exact date. I actually tried to find the maps again today. I could not find them.
Ms. Norwood, did you have anything else to add about that?
Fortunately not.
Okay.
A lot there.
It can, if I may, you know, if that is the purpose, if that was the actual purpose, if it was to limit access onto the roads, you know, we're using the existing access points. So we are limiting the access with our project.
And just to be clear, it also talks about that map as revised.
It does, and I called.
So that and it was amended, it was added by an ordinance in 1989. So that section that you're referring to, it says a lot numbering on a fronted road as shown on the general highway map for Sussex County of 1964 as revised shall have a minimum lot width of 150 feet. There's also references elsewhere that reference it was revised in January 1979. So I don't know when that was added, but for purposes of what I understand the county's records are, it is considered a numbered road and one which would require that. So just to make clear that up, because that as revised part I think is important. It doesn't go back to that original map. It goes to any revisions of that map thereafter.
And I called and spoke to somebody in planning. I don't remember who I spoke to, but and that was, it may have been Jamie. He said it was as revised. So it's any, as it keeps going and changing, you know, as they keep adding road numbers, you know, you're now falling into that caveat. So that's where we are.
Those lots are predating 1965. Sea Colony wasn't even there in 1965. Imagine if that was a lot less traveled road than it is today. I know that's not a Route 1, but on July 4th, bumper to bumper, the entire
I understand.
Very busy road.
I've lived in Delaware all my life. I don't come down here anymore.
it's even more, it's even busier now because Sea Colony is starting to enforce their private, yeah, their private in and out from Route 1 to Kent. So, you know, that's getting even heavier travel than normal.
I think when the motel was active, though, it was 14 bedrooms, I think was what they rented out.
I was going to ask you how many rooms it was.
14 rooms. So, and the parking lot, if you take a look at the parking lot, it's a large parking lot. So when we're looking at the two options of a 14-bedroom motel versus three single-family homes on two driveways. Again, the character of the community, I don't think, is being compromised at all with this variance request. But
you said two driveways or three? Correct.
Two driveways, coming off of Kent. So basically one splits, it's a shared drive. Mm-hmm. So you're having two drives split to the individual.
Yes.
That makes sense.
That's what you're proposing?
That's what's there.
It's what's there currently. We weren't going to change it.
This is what's there currently. Is this, see this driveway configuration? It kind of comes in like this. We're not changing, or we're not proposing to change any driveway connections to Kent Avenue. They stay the same. This stays, and then there's one up there. So we're not doing any road work. We're not changing access points.
We're not adding ins and outs into the community.
You're not adding an entrance on.
No.
Correct.
They're all currently there.
Correct.
Yes, because this one would, this one comes off and we'll go to this house. And this one will come off and go to the center house. And then that one up there goes to that top house.
Is that just like a access road or something right now? Or is
it's access to really their parking lot.
Yeah, it's like a half circle,
yep,
entrance, I guess.
So we'll be removing a lot of pavement and improvements that are out there.
Further questions from the board? Mr. Sharp?
Yeah, we've got just a couple. I think when you were, before you were sworn in, you had testified that motel has not been in operation for some time. How long has it been inoperable?
Predates COVID, I believe, from my understanding. It says COVID kind of nixed the whole deal there.
So more than 2 years?
Yeah, absolutely.
And one of the standards that you do have to address, and I think it was noted in the opposition's letters, we got a lot here, so I was trying to parse through it before the meeting, is that it has to be the minimum variance to afford relief. And one of the things that the opposition did raise was that you could subdivide this into two parcels, have one lot that complies with a lot width and the other would need a lesser variance. Is there a reason why that wouldn't work?
Honestly, we went from 11 to 10 down to 3. That's kind of just the direction that we had. And based off of the product that we have, that we know that would be a great fit for Bethany, that's kind of what dictated, you know, what can we do here? How does that affect the property lines and kind of go from there? So.
Okay, well, the one of the standards is that, you know, that has to be the minimum variance to afford relief. So if the way the law is set up is if an applicant can do more with less, it's what the law suspects. Now, they may still, in some cases, require variance, but in other cases, it may not. So that's a standard that, you know, you've got to establish. So if that's your answer, so be it. But I just want to make sure you're aware that was a concern raised in this letter and one of the standards you have to meet.
Yeah, and I can't speak to, obviously, all the concerns without seeing them firsthand and whatnot. But, you know, I drive down. There were two homes that were just built probably within the last year off of Kent Avenue, a little bit closer to Route 26. I think the total lot width there was 150 feet. One's known as Parcel A, one's known as Parcel B. One lot's 90 feet, one lot's 60 feet. It depends. I mean, it depends on how you're looking at it, I guess. But we're looking at the surrounding area, what's around it, our product, what we think would fit the mold, and that's how we landed at three lots.
One of the other things I noticed in one of the opposition correspondence was that there was a note about drainage issues. I didn't know if you cared to respond to that at all.
Drainage will be improved when we remove all the impervious area that's out there. I mean, we're going to have less impervious with three houses, and, you know, keeping the existing driveway entrances. Then with, you know, you have dilapidated buildings with gutters that are falling off. You know, water's just running directly towards the people's properties. There's drainage swales on both sides.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing. If you walk the property, I have a hard time believing what's currently there. The state of the grounds, the state of the building is going to be more of a hindrance than what we're proposing. Three brand new homes, code. I don't see that as a...
And the last question I have is, it was a little unclear, perhaps Ms. Norwood could help. There was a reference in one of the letters about the town. I didn't know how close this was to the proximity of the town. I know, Mr. Sutton, you're referencing some lot sizes, and I just wanted to make sure those were in the county and not in the town. So if we have a little clarity on that point as to where the town boundaries are as opposed to county, that'd be helpful. And if you all want to chime in on that, you're welcome to.
She's putting there's your town boundary.
Town boundary.
Yep. So most of the lots I was referencing are along Kent Avenue as it comes up and wraps around Jefferson Bridge Road.
The new one's built off Jefferson Bridge Road. I think Evergreen was the builder there. I can't
remember. They're like 49 feet and 50 feet.
Those are the taller versions, you know, drive under type garage deals there. But that's all the surrounding area that we're talking about for the right behind was at Argyle, I think. That's where they were building.
So just to be clear, the lots that you referenced in your testimony before were all in the county and not in the
yeah.
town?
We made reference up to the ones being built, or it looked like they're in the town.
These are the ones Ron was referencing.
Yeah.
That leads to are the ones I was referencing.
They're in the town.
Yeah, they're in the town, so. Okay.
Just in, again, the character aspect of the surrounding areas. Understanding Bethany's a different animal.
I have no further questions.
The drainage, like I said, I know the property. I know it was major drainage issues in the back that affected your neighbors behind you. I'm not sure of the road. I know there was a ditch behind there, and there it was cutting out kind of close to where that cul-de-sac is.
Yeah.
What you're saying is there will be, that will all be remedied?
I'm saying there'll be less impervious, so there'll be less runoff generated from, you know, buildings and pavement, and there's lots of other little impervious items within that property that, you know, we're fixing by putting in three single-family lots.
Not to mention the motel. Not to cut you off. The motel is sitting how far off the property line?
It's not far.
Yeah, so the one in the back's less than 3 feet.
Are you able to zoom in on that?
Right.
So when we're talking about flooding of really this vicinity here, where's the building here?
It's right there.
I mean, it's, where's the water going to go?
Yeah, I'm definitely aware of it. I just, it's still going to, I imagine it's still being an issue unless.
Well.
I think it's always going to be an issue to a certain extent. It just comes with the territory of where we're building. But the properties that we're proposing here, the homes that we're proposing on these lots, you're probably going to have a distance of at least 50 to 60 feet from the back of the house to the back of the property line versus 3 feet currently.
All those woods coming down?
No.
No.
No. No, we talked about that. Even when we were doing the town owned the condo job, we talked about trying to strategically place, not knowing obviously what can happen to them in the future, but we'd like to keep as much in place as possible.
Because that would definitely change the.
Yeah.
No, understood.
The for sure.
Can you go to the proposed drawing, please?
Oh, I think it's up. You passed it. It's not very clear. I have a drawing I can show you. I know it.
This one.
It's in color. So you can see we actually surveyed all the trees, and there's nice openings right in between all the trees that are out there, because that's where existing buildings are now.
Yeah, from our standpoint, you know, the interest in these lots, guys, the more trees we have, the better, of course.
Yeah. So in this one, I don't see any trees coming down. This one, we might have a couple of these smaller ones up in the front, and on this one, you know, maybe there's one tree. So in total, maybe two to three trees would have to be removed to fit the three houses, because they're going to kind of sit almost where the roof is today.
Well, is that survey that he's showing, is that in the record already?
Yeah.
We had that one.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same as that.
Understood. I just want to make sure we didn't need to submit. Thank you.
I guess that's a scan. Black and white scan.
Yeah, it looks like a black and white scan versus color.
We'll take a look at this, and if you have any more questions.
There's an existing conditions drawing in there too. You can kind of see all the improvements that are in the area as well if you wanted to take a look at that.
I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but the front view of like a Google Images of the building, you can kind of see all the impervious areas that Ron's talking about that would be removed for this project too. That'd be helpful.
I guess my question is, how is the exceptional practical difficulty not been created by the applicant?
I think it's created by the lot shape. I mean, we have the area to fit, you know, the three lots that we're asking for. We just don't have the frontage to create those three lots, which is the reason we need this variance. We actually meet the code without the caveat of being on a numbered road. We're above the 75-foot minimum requirement. It's the numbered road condition that is creating this extra ask that we're here doing.
One of the standards is that it cannot be something created by the Sussex County Zoning Code as well. So, I mean, it has to be something inherently unique with your property. Sounds to me like what you're saying is it would otherwise meet the lot size requirements. It's just it's too narrow.
Yes.
I believe Mr. Warfel also alluded to this earlier, that this is done on a case-by-case basis, so they have their own situations. When they happened, we don't know that, but we have this in front of us today.
Understood.
Any questions based on this?
That's theirs. No, that's theirs.
Thank you. Is there anyone present who is in favor of that of case number 12690? Is there anyone present who is in opposition of case number 12690? Okay, we have
C4.
Would anyone like to speak? K2? Okay, so if you would please be sworn in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Thomas Spice, 33339 Argyle Lane, Bethany Beach.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And Mr. Spice, could you, I don't know if Ms. Norwood could pull it back up, but we often like to have members of the public indicate where they are in relation to that, and I think there was a letter that referenced Argyle Lane. So could you show us where that is?
If I could, My opening comment was to say that my wife and I have owned this property for 32 years. This property is 20 feet from the lot. Interestingly, in our audience, we have Mrs. Ellian, the owner of this lot, which is immediately adjoining. We have Ms. Bird, who is not an owner, but who actually her family was involved in building this lot here, which is also abutting the property. And we have Mr. Beck, whose current property is over here, but who I actually met about 45 years ago when we lived next door to each other on Ocean Pines Lane. We were renting at that point before we bought the property on Argyle. So people who are here are people who are very close to where this development would be. And so you have the statement that was forwarded on our behalf, my wife and I, by Ms. Pete. You also have the petition of 26 of the residents on Argyle and Ocean Pines Lane, and one on Robin Hood's Way, stating their opposition for that. And there are at least two or three additional letters that I'm aware of opposition in addition to that petition. Actually, these folks who are here today are the same folks who gathered here to learn in January on a cold day that the petitioner had withdrawn about 5 minutes before the meeting their application for conditional use to build. It was first 11 and then 10 four-bedroom condo units on this lot. That was after the decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission by a 4-1 vote to recommend denial of that. I understand that what's relevant here is the proceedings that are introduced here. I'm just saying that we have been here not long ago with respect to this. I think every limitation about this property has been clear to the current owner when they purchased the property. The property was purchased according to the land records. I believe it was the 22nd of December, at least it was in the 20th of December. Christopher's purchased it from Murgard, who was the prior owner. And they did so after the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing in which the concerns were raised. So they are late to ownership of the property, but they came in, I think, clearly with their eyes open. The traffic problems are profound. The property is almost directly across from the entrance to the Sea Colony Tennis Villas area. And I think anyone familiar with the area knows that, and I think the chair had mentioned this, that the traffic along Kent Avenue from Jefferson Bridge Road back onto Route 1 in some cases in the season is very high. And that was certainly one of our concerns. There were comments about the what was called the dilapidated state of the motel. Before the Planning and Zoning Commission hearings, actually there were parts of the property that were physically removed. There were floors that were taken out, so there were exposed areas there now, but it was not by natural forces. It was because they were removed by the prior owner during their tenancy, but at a time when I believe they had an option agreement with Christopher to purchase the property. So everything is not natural in that regard. So the property, see it from the survey, is 244 and a half feet. The application from that, and this is neither here nor there, but the application that the applicant filed requested a singular variance. And then when public notice went out, it referenced variances. And so clearly, in order to do what the applicant wants to do, will require three variances. There were references to 75-foot lot size on Argyle. Again, there is very little similarity between the character of the neighborhood here and the character of the neighborhood here. These are houses that have been there forever. They're in the woods. It's a very sedate, quiet place. That's why my wife and I chose to raise our two kids there and enjoy the property. In any event, the lots in the immediate vicinity have a minimum lot width ranging from 92 and a half feet all the way up to 460 feet. There is one lot, the fronts Kent Avenue, which is 85 feet frontage. We know of no lot that is of 60-foot frontage. But again, the smallest is 85. This division each of these variances would create a lot smaller than anything that currently exists on that frontage. This was already raised. The applicant has suggested that the requested variance in the minimum variance would afford relief and that the property could not otherwise be developed. And as was mentioned, this is not the case. There could be a 150-foot minimum width, which would meet the requirement, and then a request for another 94 and a half feet that to be viable. So for all of these reasons, we believe that both substantively and procedurally, we urge the Board of Adjustment to deny this request to the variance of the minimum lot, which would also, most importantly, retain the essential character of the neighborhood, as evidenced by the voices you've heard from the folks who are in that neighborhood, and would be consistent with the 4-1 decision by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Just to close, it seems that underneath it all, the applicant wishes that the code were different than it is, and that the requirement for 150-foot minimum frontage for a numbered road weren't what the code is, but the code is as it is. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Mr. Sharp?
Just to, you referenced in your testimony, and your attorney's letter also references that a variance would not be needed for one lot if they were to subdivide it, that they could do one lot in compliance, but they would still need a lesser variance. They would need a variance for another lot, though it would be lesser than what they're seeking. And it was not clear for me from your testimony or from the letter, would you oppose a variance for a two-lot subdivision in that event? But
I will state for the record, and knowing that I'm under oath, that I would not.
Okay. So you're opposing it being for three lots, but you
for three
would be
lots,
okay to two.
Yeah. Right.
And then there was also testimony from the applicant that one of the things that they thought they could do would be to put a four-unit condominium on the property if subdivision was not approved. Do you have any position on that?
You know, I think that what was stated by planning and zoning was what the, whether it's the code or the statute, is for that size lot. I'm not sure that building four units in there would somehow meet the minimum width requirement, whereas building three would not. But in any event, I mean, we're prepared to deal with that if need be. I cannot attest that I would not oppose that.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board?
Thanks very much.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak? If you would, please come forward.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
My name's Andrew Beck. I live at 33378 Ocean Pines Lane.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And I know your neighbor kind of showed where some people live, but could you show us where you live as well?
Yeah, I have my retirement home where I live full-time is right here.
Lot 51.
Yes, and I also own this lot, and I also own this lot. And if you'll scroll down a little bit, since 1976, when I finished school, I have at one time or another owned this lot, this lot, this lot. Come down a little more, please. These two lots. And if you go back up a little bit, I lived here for a good bit of time. My oldest daughter, who was 42 years old, came home from Salisbury Hospital to this house when she was born.
So just to clarify the record, because we don't have, you're pointing at it, but we don't hear that on the record, is that it's a lot, two lots to the north of the subject property,
yes,
is
correct.
Where you're referring to.
It's the lot 7 of the Kent Avenue subdivision was how it was described before the 911 addresses were applied. So I don't know how else to describe it. So I have quite a history here.
Okay. Well, sir, if you're done looking at the map, if you could go to the podium, that would be helpful. So
okay.
We can pick up the mic a little clearer up there.
So I guess the point I'm trying to make is I have quite a history in this immediate area. The couple that owned the hotel many years ago, we were very good friends with, Horace and Sally Littleton. I should also say that since 1976, I've worked in heavy construction and land development, so I know quite a bit about the process. I've worked as far south as Miami-Dade County, Florida, and as far north as Braintree, Massachusetts, and just about everywhere in between. So we retired here 2 years ago. And in that 2 year period, a competitor of the applicant has made our lives miserable, Evergreen Homes. They have been buying up every lot that they could possibly buy up at what I consider to be fairly exorbitant prices. They come in, they clear cut the lot or the lots, just completely clear cut them, not a single tree left. Then they come in and fill them. In almost every case, there's, I think that they have a seven, they've completed seven homes. They have one in process on Argyle, and they just cleared and filled two lots immediately to the north of the original piece of property I owned as a 21-year-old kid, 14 Ocean Pines Lane. And in doing so, they brought in probably 50 or 60 tandem loads of fill and filled one of the drainage ditches that crossed the property.
And sir, and, I just want to, we're focusing on this property.
I'm trying to make a point. There is a battle that has erupted now between two of us on Ocean Pines Lane and DNRAC and Soil Conservation Service. And there's going to be a big meeting there later this week about evergreen coming in and causing huge drainage problems. Overfilling lots, forcing water onto the neighbors' properties. They've hauled and they've hauled many loads back out after they were called to the carpet.
Well, sir,
there's been a problem with builders is the point I'm trying to make. And I've been in the industry for 47 years, and I understand. I appreciate these guys coming in with an offer that is much less than what had originally been proposed. When I saw the sign a couple of weeks ago, my wife looked it up. I'm visually impaired. I don't see much at all. And she pointed out that they're asking for three lots. I said, well, that's interesting. How did we go from 11 townhouses, which was the original application, which was then modified back to 10, to three single-family lots? So I called the planning and zoning, and I talked to a young man named Chase last Wednesday. Can you tell me what's going on here? And he was confused by the application when he read it for the first time, because it appeared they were only asking for a variance for one lot width, when in fact they were asking for three. But he did call me back a couple of hours and said, well, it looks like they're asking for three. Okay, that's fine. But why would you go from 10 units to three? And I asked him if he could find out if they planned to build, if duplexes were allowed without a big process on a single family lot. And he called me back and said, no, they can't do that, but they can build the four townhouses. Well, why would they be going from four townhouses to three single family homes? So I called Chase back and I said, can you explain this to me? And he says, the reason is the various boards and committees that would be involved in improving this are backed up 12 to 18 months. So for them to go through the process, Christopher Holmes, to go through the process to get to four townhouses would take them much longer than going through the subdivision process or the variance process for the lot widths, and they could build three homes almost immediately. Well, the big takeaway that I would like to make is that the people who live here, and I've been in Bethany Beach since 1961 when I was 6 years old, these homes that are described as cottages, 3,000 and 4,000 foot cottages, I grew up in Bethany Beach in a 1,200 square foot cottage with one brother and two sisters. These are not cottages. They're building setback to setback to setback to setback to the absolute building height, filling the building envelope completely. They're covering them with plastic siding. These homes look like they've been popped out of a 3D printer and blown up and set on the site. And it's just been, the last 2 years, I thought I came down here to relax. The eight homes that they have built and the two lots that they have cleared evergreen has made my life miserable. There's an open road cut.
They're not evergreen, correct?
No, this is their competitors. I think evergreen they would describe as a competitor, but they build the same product. On pilings, two and three stories, shallow roof pitches, you know, just, and the character of this whole neighborhood is one and two story homes built fairly low to the ground, eave heights, you know, with not more than 20 feet, 25 feet above grade, and not at 41 feet above grade. And, you know, all the trees are getting cut down. Someone needs to figure out what we got to do to change the name of Ocean Pines Lane to Ocean Pineless Lane, because that's what it's become. The entire neighborhood, the character has been changed completely. So there, and of course, Tom already addressed the drainage issues, the traffic issues, which are, the traffic's horrible, horrible. I mean, I came here to retire and I'm ready to put my place up for sale and, you know, go someplace else. I grew up here. So I don't know what else I can tell you. With regard to the hotel, it had to be in operation in 2021 because Murgard LLC, the owner at the time, applied, received a $30,000 PPP loan from the federal government. So if he wasn't open for business, I don't know how he got that loan. There's just too much going on. It's too much. It's ruining the neighborhood. It's ruining it. And now, in regard to the same question you asked Tom, I think that I would have no problem if they wanted to put two homes here and there was some restriction on how many trees they took down. You know, they paid $1.2 million for it, so they got a unit land cost of if they did the four units, it would be $300,000 a unit, which is probably the market. If they build three homes, $400,000 a unit, that's still in the ballpark. But you know, I don't know. I've read the Sussex zoning ordinance 100 times, and I have never been able to find where it says you should grant a variance because the guy paid too much for the land. I can't find it. And I don't know if any of you know where it is, but I can't find it. So I would ask that this application be rejected, and we're trying to save the neighborhood. That's all I have to say, and I'll take any questions.
Any questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Is there anyone left that would like to speak? No?
Operator?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. We have Amy on the line. Amy, your line is open.
I'm Amy Hollis, an employee with Sussex County, calling in to test the line.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
At this time, there is currently no one else on the line.
Thank you. If there are no further questions from the board.
I don't know, Mr. Chairman, if the applicant wanted to address any of the comments that we received.
Correct.
I think our rules allow for a rebuttal.
If you guys would like to come up and respond.
Yes, I'd like to just address several things, specifically what Mr. Beck was speaking to. I understand his frustrations. It sounds like a lot of them are directed more towards Evergreen and how that whole process has changed his feel for the area. We are not that builder, obviously. Our product is different. I've driven by that parcel he's speaking about. The homes have been built many times, and he's right. They do fill up basically the whole lot. What I was speaking to earlier was what we're proposing with these lots, 76 to 84 foot widths, almost 200 feet in depth. It's a completely different animal than what Mr. Beck is referencing. And the product itself is not a piling product. The lots are too wide. It would look out of place, out of character, if it was a piling product on lots of that size, in my opinion. We have some conceptuals. This is not obviously finalized, but just to kind of show you all, and feel free to
toss them around. There's one conceptual. The pictures behind are of other homes in the vicinity.
Just to give an idea of what we're looking at, when we're talking 3,000 to 4,000 square feet, we are talking about two-story homes, slab, crawl space, one or the other. So it's the picture that is being painted versus what we're proposing are two completely different things. I just think it's appropriate to kind of show you our mindset at this stage of how we see our product fitting on these three parcels. And speaking about the motel's operations, when I say it hasn't been in business, it's more of it has not been actively rented out over the last couple of years. I don't know what the seller's dealings were outside of that, but the amount of traffic is what I was referencing. It was also mentioned, why don't they go for four lots? It could take 12 to 18 months. time is not the issue for us. It's the feedback that we've been getting. We had an 11-home project that we were proposing, dropped it to 10. We got together as a company and said, with all the feedback from the local neighbors, they're all saying the same things of what they want. Let's cut out all the you-know-what, and let's figure out what's going to make the community look good, what's going to appease the neighbors as well. And that's why we went to the three single-family home direction and not try to go to the four condo townhome. So just internal conversations there. Also want to add that we are, Christopher Companies, we are based in Oakton, Virginia, but we have been building in Sussex County for the last 12 years. So we know the market well. We've built 300 to 400 homes in the marketplace. We're proposing 3 homes. We're not proposing thousands of homes in the county. We think it'd be a great addition to the surrounding area. And to Mr. Beck's point, we're not filling up the building envelope, as I mentioned. There's going to be roughly 50 to 60 feet behind each one of these dwellings, which, again, compared to the motel that's sitting there now, should absolutely help in one aspect or another. That's all I have.
Questions after seeing the drawings, pictures?
Question for Mr. Sharp. Mr. Sharp, in the documentation that you mentioned that came from Ms. Pete, and included in that was the minutes of the January 13th planning and zoning at the back of the packet, where it listed the reasons that they're for denial, and but a number 4 on that, but the last sentence. I just want to make sure I'm clear that the density for the zoning allows for 4 units to be built. Is that correct?
Yeah, I believe so. I haven't dug into the code on that density issue, but I know those are vetted by the council, by the commission, so I'm going to assume that's right. I think that's right for MR as far as just the calculation of units per acre. Right. And I suspect probably one of the issues, just reading their decision, was that the applicant had proposed 11 on 1 acre, and the code just kind of surmises 4 is really the max that they can do. I don't know that they certainly didn't offer an opinion on a condo or anything.
I just want to confirm that it appears as though 4 units could be built based upon the zoning for the property.
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, I would want to check that, but I know AR1, it's 2 per acre, and medium residential allows for greater density than AR1, so.
Thank you.
And I had a question for the applicant, because I recall it was either you or Mr. Sutton had stated that there was some lots that were in the 60-foot width in the area.
Yes.
And it appears from Mr. The first applicant, Mr. Fies, I believe he had testified that he didn't know where there was a 60-foot wide lot. I'm particularly interested in one that's on a numbered road. Can you identify one for me? Because when I looked at our tax map that we had, the closest I saw was 92 and a half feet. So.
Can you turn the aerial off and then scroll up, please? Right there. That's road number 361A.
So that's parcel 174 on Jefferson Bridge Road.
Yes.
Look at those ones right there.
Thank you.
gentleman just take a seat for a second. We're going to do this really quick. If you would come up for a second.
They're part of the record.
I was trying to tell you.
I just want to be clear because I stated under oath there were no 60 foot on Kent Avenue.
Yes.
This is not on Kent Avenue. This is on another road, and we did make the point that the neighborhood on Kent Avenue and the neighborhood on the adjoining streets are very different. Just to be clear.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions from the board. Mr. Sharp, any further questions?
I have nothing further. Thank you.
There are no further questions from the board. I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we deny case 12690 for Christopher at the towns of Windward Village, LLC. For the requested variance, pending a final written decision based upon the record made this evening during the public hearing, the exceptional practical difficulty has been created by the applicant.
Second. Second, the motion
fails for lack of a second.
Fails for lack of a second.
Mr. Chairman, if you're entertaining the motion.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to move that we deny case 12690 for Christopher at the Towns at Windward Village, LLC. For the requested variances pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing. And the reason I'm going to give is because the difficulty is created by the code and not by the uniqueness of the property.
I have a motion. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Dr. Carson.
Nay.
Mr. Hastings.
Nay.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye for my reasons.
Mr. Corman?
Aye for the reasons.
And aye too for those reasons. So with a vote of 3-2, case number 12690 has been denied. Next application.